Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday to everyone who listened to the show, Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. Been having a few technical issues with my telephone, so hopefully, I think Francine and I have been talking about this telephone for a year now. I haven't gotten any new ones yet, but welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. I'm Veronica McMillan, your host for tonight. Our host or president of Issues Concerning Women, Francine Humphrey, is a little under the weather. She may come on the show a little later and be our guest tonight and add her 2 cents worth to our show. But, of course, we're just happy that you all are here with us this Thursday night. It's a hot one here in the Hampton Roads area. We've been reaching temperatures in the upper 90s, and basically the heat index is up in the hundreds, and so it's been really, really hot, but we are blessed to be here. Let me tell you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women. Issues Concerning Women, it focuses on the needs of women and families reaching long and short-term goals, assisting them in the areas of business, career, housing, finance, and life skills. And then, of course, that organization is founded by Francine Humphrey, the president of Issues Concerning Women, and of course, yours truly, the president of the Micro Nonprofit Network. We're here to help nonprofits to become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. Francine and I, y'all, this is my soapbox. We're about the empowerment of entrepreneurs, and specifically women. Not saying that we don't help men, but basically that specific focus or target audience for us is women, and we want basically to empower them through hands-on demonstrations, through details of home ownership, career development, investing for retirement, just taking care of yourself, entrepreneurship, relationship building, adult literacy. It really is about the empowerment of people, the empowerment of individuals, the empowerment of families. And so I just want to shout out Francine's contact information. If you want to connect with her, you can go to icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can go to the website at issuesconcerningwomen.org. And, of course, I'll be shouting that out throughout the night. If you want to connect with me, you can connect with me at info@themicrononprofitnetwork.org, or just go to our website at micrononprofitnetwork.org. And so tonight, you all, this thing has sort of kind of been burning in my spirit today. And when I found out that I was going to be doing the show tonight, I came up with the topic, love language, not love language, but love language, because we're in a moment in time, y'all, where I can't even verbalize, I can't even articulate where I am in terms of what is going on in our society, and more specifically talking about our political arena and what is going on with the rhetoric that we're hearing, the narrative that we're hearing from our leaders of this country. To me, it's a bit painful. It really is something that I think we have to really take a look at. We have to take a look at not just our political leaders, but our community leaders, our religious leaders, you know, those who are in the public arena. We have to really take a look at what is going on, because I think we're becoming a bit too silent, y'all. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think that we are operating in the love that Jesus Christ wanted us to have. And, of course, I'm going down that spiritual lane tonight because of the fact that I'm bothered a bit in my spirit about what is going on. And I'm really looking for a conversation, looking for people to connect, looking for resolutions, solutions, something going that we need to do, because something is going on. And I think it's bigger than what we all are seeing. It's bigger than what we are hearing, that there is something going on, and it's not love's language. And that's what I want tonight's topic to be, is love language. And so, as I said, I'm basically just been kind of stirred in my spirit around this whole thing. And so today when the topic came up, I went and I found in the Bible. So I'm just going to read to you a little bit. So I'm switching gears a minute, not talking about business, but talking about love language. And so I went to the Bible today and I pulled on, this is the Old Testament. This is King James, New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm only going to read to you 4 through 8 because I specifically wanted us to really have this conversation about love's language and what's going on in our time. So here it goes. You've heard it before. This is King James now. It says, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believe all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fail, but whether there be approaches, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And so I was thinking about this love language. And when you start looking, especially verses 4 through 8, that suffereth long is a patience piece. It really is talking about being patient. And I think the patience is not just sitting there doing anything, but basically making sure that we are honoring God in the things that we're doing, praying and asking God for direction, but basically being a help to other people as well. I think we have to do that. We also have to basically look at our behavior. And this is kind of where I am tonight in terms of love language, is looking at our behavior with the larger society. In this radio program that we're on, where Francine and I are always talking about the empowerment of people, the empowerment of businesses, the empowerment of individuals, the empowerment of families, all of that. It basically is trumped in love. It is basically bookmarked in love. And so we cannot move away from love's language because of the fact that this is what we're called to do. God has called us to love one another. And I think that we're in a time now where we're not doing that. And this whole radio program is really about helping others and helping others to understand what we do, how we do it, how we take care of each other. And so I wanted us to basically tonight, since this is the topic that I wanted to talk about on this show, was to talk about what are we going to do with those verses that I just read to you all. What are we going to do when we start looking at and talking about charity, that it does not, it's not puffed up, it doesn't seek its own, is not easily provoked. And think about what is going on in society today. Think about what we're seeing. I couldn't help but, just before I came on, I saw the soundbite of the President of the United States putting down the four senators or representatives, and how that just reminded me of the 60s. It reminded me of how black and brown people were treated here in America, and it reminds me of how there was, back in the day, there was this big thing about going back to Africa, sending black people back to Africa because of the fact that supposedly they weren't in alignment with the American way. There's something really going wrong. That's not love's language. Love's language is that you're going to be patient with me, that you're going to be understanding of me. You're going to be one that understands that there's patience and that you have to bear and believe and hope in and be enduring through all things, whether that be people that are of a different color or different culture or whatever. We have to figure out, how do we love each other? What is love language for you? What is love language for other people? Because I don't think that we have it. And tonight I am definitely stirred up about this, because I think that we have to no longer be silent. I think that this is something that we have to really sort of kind of look at and figure out how do we do that? How do we be a help to one another? And how do we be able to support other people, whether they are people of different colors, whether that are entrepreneurs, whether that's other businesses, whatever that it may be, how do we use love language to help empower them? Because I think this is not what's going on now. That's not what we see in the forefront today. So I had to bring it out again. Don't want to be a bit too spiritual, but yet wanting to make sure that we are in a place where we're saying, okay, what can we do about what's happening? How do we show love to one another? And so I see, my friend, you have jumped on the line with me tonight in terms of this love language and what is going on politically, what's going on in our communities, what's going on in our churches and in public institutions, and that I believe that we're not using love language. I think that we're having a language where there's a lot of rhetoric going on, and it's not about love. So my friend, you come on the line. I know you haven't been feeling well. I'm so glad that you picked up the phone tonight to talk. So what are your thoughts about this? I call this topic love language. I just read to the audience 1 Corinthians 13, 4, and 8, and talking about what love is. So what's your two cents worth on this, Francine?
Well, hey, Veronica, and so glad I could join you for a few minutes. Yes, we see it more and more and more, and I hate to use the word evilness, but it comes to mind when I'm seeing what is happening in our society and from the White House to the outhouse, as they say. I'm not seeing the love that we say we portray, because if we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then why aren't we loving our fellow man? And this is the man that you see every day, the man that you walk beside, the man that you pass, and you put your eyes to the ground, but you say you love the Lord, someone that you can't see, but you believe who he is, and you say that you walk in that path of righteousness. So for me, it is so disheartening what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing. Every day when we turn on the news, it's some more devastation, some more evilness, because that's what it is. And of course, we know anyone who serves the Lord in any capacity, or even if they don't go to church on a regular basis, if you have some kind of love and compassion for your fellow man, what is it about this particular time that gives you the forewithal to just push aside everything you learned as a child, because, you know, your parents taught you, you know, Jesus is love and Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, because the Bible tells me so. What happened to all of that? Where has that gone?
Yeah.
Because it's the simple things that we hold on to, and not necessarily a full dissertation about, you know, 1 Corinthians or what love is or what love really has to do with it. But those simple things, just saying, hello, how are you today? You know, that person may not be who I think they are, or they may not look like me. Their skin tone may be different. They may speak differently. But who am I to show evilness towards them? Where is the love that we say that we have? And especially in the evangelicals, and I don't want to start any political aspirations on this particular show, but when we're seeing the leaders in the church stand up and defend evilness, what is the little person supposed to do? How am I supposed to deal with that? And of course, everybody that knows me knows that I'm in the ministry and that I have a church and all of that. But what about the everyday normal person who thinks that this country would be greater if it was this again? And this country would be better if these people were not here. But guess what? We're all immigrants. We didn't come here because we wanted to come here. We were all brought here. And the only people that were already here were the Indians, from what I was told. Now, if somebody knows something different, they need to tell me. Columbus didn't discover anything. This, you know, America was already here. He came on a boat and landed here and just took what he wanted. And so I see that in a lot of the things that we see today, we see that same mentality. If I don't like something, I'm just going to take what I want. Or if I want something, I'm just going to take it. And I don't really have to ask you because you're nothing to me. You mean nothing to me.
Right.
And so a lot
yes.
of people are feeling that way. Even we're feeling the intimidation of other people. You don't have to be intimidated by me because I'm a 6 foot tall woman and my skin is as dark as a black leather belt. You don't have to feel that way about me. Why aren't you looking at me through the eyes of love, through the eyes of God? And that's what
yes.
we're not doing, Veronica. We're not looking at each other as human beings. We're looking at each other as what I perceive you to be. And that's a big issue.
Yeah.
You know, girl, I could go on and on and on with this, but that's my 2 cent worth. And especially when when your health is not 100% and you are praying to God every day that you get healthy, nobody has time for this
yeah.
nonsense, you know, because
exactly.
I want nothing
yeah.
more than to feel 100%. And I know it's going to take time, and
yeah.
I'm not rushing God because I know he's a healer and I believe that I am healed. I just know that I have to go through the process and where he has put me.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I still have to sit here and I have to watch and I have to listen at how people talk and how people treat each other. People will let a door slam on your face. They don't care if you got kids or your mother in a wheelchair. They won't
yeah.
even help you.
Yeah.
And it's just a sad state
exactly.
of affairs. And I'm just really, really heartbroken by what I see. And I hope that through our conversations and through some of the things that Veronica and I are doing, that you will come and join us and have these conversations with us and let us put it all out there on the table. Because until we stand up and speak up for what we don't like, it's going to continue to happen. And that's my 2 cents.
Exactly. I'm so in agreement with you. And as I said, when coming on the show tonight and trying to, you know, come up with a topic, I didn't want to do business, didn't want to do anything, but I'm just stirred up
mm-hmm.
in terms of what is going on. And that's why I chose the topic, love language, that what
mm-hmm.
in the world is going on that we feel okay to say and
mm-hmm.
do some of the things, because we talk that love expresses itself. And I believe that
right.
we have to come together in unity so that basically people can see it being demonstrated. And then what is that process of tackling hate? Because I think that what's
mm-hmm.
happening, and I wrote some notes down here to myself, and I don't want to get ahead of my notes, but basically what is that process of tackling the hate? Because I think that if we all
mm-hmm.
sit in silence, it's like, oh, God, oh, that's what happened to Francine, or that's what happened to Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen to me. I'll just pray for them. That's not enough. And again,
no.
again, to the point that you just made earlier, we're not trying to throw the church under the bus, but some of our religious leaders, some of our leaders who are out front are saying and,
mm-hmm.
and aligning themselves up with our president, who basically is really maligning people. He just basically, and again, normally I wouldn't even be talking about this, but I could not stand, I mean, couldn't stand or sit and listen
mm-hmm.
no more of how these four women of color are being treated. And the church
mm-hmm.
is silent. The
mm-hmm.
community is silent. All we're doing is watching Democrats and Republicans fight back
mm-hmm.
and forth, and nothing is getting done, and neither of the parties, Democratic
right,
or
absolutely.
Republican. So I really do believe, Francine, it really is going to come from those grassroots organizations and individuals and churches
mm-hmm.
coming together to say, how do we tackle this hate? Because that is nothing but hate. I don't care how
yeah,
we
absolutely.
Spin it. I don't care what kind of
mm-hmm.
way we look at it from a political standpoint. It is no good, Francine. And I could not just like, okay, let's just sit down and be quiet. I think we
mm-hmm.
have to do something else. So what do you think about this tackling the hate? What do you think is a process for doing that?
And, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about and as I listen and I look and, you know, as you say, we are watching both parties, and neither one of them are representing us. they're fighting amongst themselves because they have something that they need to prove, that I can do this and I can do that because I'm in the Democratic Party, or I can say this and I can say that because I'm in the Republican Party. And then when you leave the party or you resign, then you got all this stuff to say. It's too little too late. We don't need to hear it then. We need to hear it while you were in the party actively working. And I am, again, disheartened by both parties, because what I see the Republican Party doing, they're going ahead with their agenda. See, we're not stopping them from doing anything, whether we run the House or the Senate or anything else. We're not stopping them. They're going ahead with their agenda. And we are being so, well, let's take a look at it and see what we can do about it. Nothing gets done when you do that. You have to hit it right where it is. Stop it right there. If you get cut and you're bleeding, what does the first aid doctor do? He stops the bleeding. And if we don't stop the bleeding, then we're going to bleed to death. So the Democrats aren't doing anything. The Republicans are doing exactly what they want to do. And the Democrats, like we always do in the Democratic Party, if you are of that party, you try to take the more sensible way out. But the time has come for that to come to an end as well. It makes no sense. It's a bunch of nonsense. People are, you know, you're running, like they used to say, hide behind your mama's coattails, because you feel safe behind there, and then still saying, well, I'm doing this for the community. No, I don't see you doing anything for the community. I don't hear, I do hear a couple of people talking about what they should be doing with the president, but not very many are outspoken, because for some reason, they think that if they get on his bad side, then they're going to have a price to pay. Well, my thing, let me tell you people, you're already paying the price, and we are seeing it every single day. We're already paying that price. You let him run businesses while he's in the White House. You let his children run businesses, and you know it's wrong, but you won't say anything. You let him connect with other countries, do exactly what they want to do, and you applaud that because nobody has ever done it before. Have you ever thought that maybe there's a reason why nobody else ever did it before? You know, so we are looking at two sides, and there's two sides to every coin, and I know everybody won't agree with me, and I don't expect you to. I expect you to have your own opinion, but I also expect you to stand up for what is right and what is wrong. And when something is wrong, my mother always said, you need to speak up about it. If nobody stands with you, you still stand on your own because you have a voice. See, we're no longer voiceless, and that's the thing that I see, that we're almost, Veronica, as if we're going backwards to the 50s and 60s, when we couldn't say anything, when somebody would spit in your face and you couldn't do anything. See, I'm not that African-American that I was in the 1960s because I was a young girl then. And back then, I was a little scrapper. You could spit on me if you want to. We would be scrapping for days and days and days, but I'm an adult now, and I'm a mature adult with children and grandchildren, so I can't be out there scrapping with folks. But I can say I do not like this. This does not feel good. This is hurtful. This is evil. This is hatred. And I can say that. And nobody can really stop me from doing that. And so those who are silent, if you're running for office, then I'm disappointed in you because you don't have anything to say. And then when it gets close to November, because there's an election this year in November, it's not a big one, but it's for all those representative seats. And if you don't say anything from now until November, the end of October, don't expect the African-American community to pull behind you and pull you through, because that's exactly what you expect. We've seen it done before. You don't talk to us. You don't come visit us. You don't have nothing to say to us because we're going to pull you through. Now, this is not just Francine saying this. This is statistics. It's there. It is written. It shows you exactly how many African-American voters pull these candidates through. And if you're sitting there thinking that I don't have to do anything and they just going to vote for me, well, guess what? Your seat is not safe, and I'm going
to
shut up.
That's right. It's not safe. And again, I go back to what we said, love expresses itself. We cannot we cannot do it, which leads me to my next point. When I was thinking about this thing, I was saying, what is God saying? And I think what God is saying is that it's accountability to each other, that we have to become accountable for our children. So we can't just continue to let our children just do anything. We can't continue to let our children disrespect authority. We can't continue to let our children disrespect us. But we got to teach our children about who we are, what we're doing, our time in history, all of that stuff, because it's important. We have to help our businesses understand, because I think what happens is we think if we don't have the white dollars, we can't thrive nor survive. And I think That is ludicrous, but that is what's happening.
Crazy.
And I believe that what God is saying is that you all are going to, first of all, understand that you need me in this and that you need each other in this, because this is how it always has been. We have to begin to have our churches to stand up to wherein no more supporting mega ministries led by someone who's supporting the vileness that we have coming out of the White House. That we look on TVN and we see, and I'm just putting his name out there, Huckabee, who was, I think he was a governor at one time. Now he has a show on TVN, a staunch Trump supporter, and we are still sending monies to these organizations, helping them, whether it's $10, $15. But when you get a million of us sending $10 and $15, we have lots of money. So we're going to have to, I believe, pull our resources together, churches helping each other, churches educating each other, no more just pouring money into it and not helping anybody. I believe that God, this is me, Francine, is saying you better build relationships and you better develop spiritually so that you can open your eyes to see what is going on, because love does not act this way. And that if we don't begin to operate in love and understand what God is saying now, I think that this is one of those times where God said, okay, just if we go from the beginning, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we see that oftentimes when God does something, he lets the people get so far out there till they have to come back crying, God, we need you. We need your help. And that, what do you learn from that? And I think that that's what, that to me, that I believe God is saying. What do you think, Francine?
Absolutely. And Veronica, and the more that we fast and pray, and the more, and because in just these last 2 weeks I've been, you know, under the weather and not being able to eat. And I was going to fast anyway the first part of July. Well, I had to. I didn't have a choice. So, you know, and fasting and praying, you know, you begin to really see what God is showing us. And he's showing us with all these hurricanes, these storms, you know, these lightning strikes, this devastation, all these murders, all these things are things that we read about in the Bible. But see, we cover our head up and act like, oh, he ain't really talking about us. Yes, he said he would not destroy us again, but he did not say he would not let us destroy ourselves. And so when we're looking at the world today as a whole, it is time, for, again, like Veronica said, for us to stand up. We can no longer be silent. We can no longer support you if that's what you believe in, that this hatred is going to get you somewhere. We won't support you. Now, there will be those that will. There will be those that will toe the line because that's what they believe. And, honey, go right ahead. I don't care. You do what you need to do. But you're not going to come in my church and say anything to my congregation about something that you're doing if it has anything to do with hate. And there's another few other ministers out there that we know that if it was not for the African American community, they would not be where they are today. We don't even have to call names because everybody knows who they are.
That's right.
And so if you are African American, if you're a brown person, you're Indian, Mexican, whatever you are, and you don't see something wrong with what you're seeing today, then there's something wrong with you. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
So, and if you are of color and you see something wrong, then it's time for you to speak up. I'm not saying spew hate for hate. I'm saying show love, but in the same time, God chastises those that he loves. He will chastise you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's time for us to stand up and say, you know what, this is wrong, and I can't support this. And we're always talking about keeping our money in our communities, but why in the world are you still supporting these people who are against you? They don't even like you. They hate you, but you still will send them money, and you don't understand that. Veronica, we can go on and on with this. I had a person, I'm real quick, and says that we don't understand Donald Trump. He is a born-again Christian. And I almost fell off my seat when she said that to me, and she's a woman of color. And so you believe what you want to believe, but I'm telling you, people, you need to start looking at both sides of the coin. Stop just looking at Fox News. You need to look at some other news. Stop just looking at MSNBC and look at Fox News and see what they're saying. Because, see, when you don't look at both sides, then you can take an opinion. Well, they're just mad at him because he's doing so great. No, that's a lie.
Right.
And the devil is a liar. And I know we got to go, so let me be quiet. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Love language. I really wanted us to do it. We got 1 minute, so I just want to shout out, if you need to reach out to Francine, you can connect with her at icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can go to her website at issuesconcerningwomen.org. And if you want to reach out to me, you can connect with me at info@micrononprofitnetwork or themicrononprofitnetwork.org. It has been a grand conversation again tonight, my friend. Both of us are on fire because we realize that we got to do something. And my call to action to everybody is to go out and support somebody, help some family, help some church, help somebody with groceries or anything, but do something and let's not stay silent no more. So with that said, my friend, we come to the end of our show. It has been a blessing, and you feel better, and we will be talking soon, okay?
All right.
All
right. Thank you, everybody.
Listening audience, we'll talk with you all. Take care. Bye-bye now.